The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company, present... The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. As San Francisco's favorite private detective, Mike Shane's life has plenty of excitement and drama, but it also has its routine. It is shortly after 9 a.m. and the business day in room 1515 Russ Building begins just as it does in any other office. While Mike opens the morning mail, his sleek and lovely assistant, Phyllis Knight, glances at the newspaper. Suddenly, Phyllis leans forward in her chair.
Good heavens. I can't believe it.
What's the matter?
Have you looked at this paper, Mike? About Malcolm Boyd? Malcolm Boyd. Well, I used to know him at college. He took me to the prom once. He was a smooth number.
Too warm a day for me to be jealous, Angel.
Oh, no, no, no. Listen. Malcolm Boyd, 31, wealthy young socialite of San Francisco, was mysteriously shot to death in his apartment last night.
Well, well.
Mrs. Mary Boyd, his widow, informed the police that about 10 o'clock she told her husband she was going down to the drugstore for a few minutes. When she returned to their apartment in the Bayview Tower, she discovered the riddled body.
Does it say anything about suspects or witnesses?
No, not so far.
Hold it, honey, hold it.
Hello, Mike Shane speaking.
Mike, you busy right now?
Oh, morning, Inspector. What do you mean, busy? I'm always up to my ears.
Fine, I got a client here at headquarters for you.
You have? Well, thanks, Inspector, but I've got some odds and ends to clean up.
Just a minute, Mike.
Sorry, partner. Oh, by the way, we were just reading about this Malcolm Boyd killing. You boys at Homicide got any ideas?
Yeah, you're one of them.
Huh?
This client is the Malcolm Boyd case. Come on down and talk to him. Or are you still too busy with odds and ends?
As a matter of fact, Inspector, I'm at the end of my odds right now. I'll see you in 5 minutes.
Where's the inspector now, Mike, coming out of his office?
Fast traveling, kids. You made it in about 8 minutes flat.
Where's your man?
In the office. Come on in.
Okie doke.
Richie, I want you to meet Mike Shane and Phyllis Knight. Friends of mine from way back. Mr. Ward Ritchie.
Glad to know you.
How do you do, Mr. Ritchie?
The reason I called you in, Mike, is that this department can't help Ritchie. What he needs is a lawyer and a darn good private detective.
It's about the Malcolm Boyd case?
That's right.
But I didn't see your name in the newspaper account of it.
We didn't give it to the papers, Phil. But they'll get a hold of it soon enough.
Oh.
Pull out some chairs and I'll tell you the story.
Yeah, sure, Inspector.
Thank you.
Now, as you know, Malcolm Boyd was shot last night in his apartment, the Bayview Towers.
Mm-hmm.
His wife telephoned Homicide. We got there about 15 minutes after the murder. No guns, no clues, no fingerprints, no known enemies, no motives.
The perfect murder mystery.
Yeah. The girl at the switchboard in the lobby said a man came in and phoned up to Boyd about 9:50 p.m. The elevator boy says he let him off at the sixth floor. Boyd's apartment is 610. And in about 10 minutes, the guy went down in the elevator again. The manager happened to be in the elevator this time.
Then you must have a pretty good description of the fellow.
Okay, Sergeant. Read the description. He was tall. He was short. He was fat. He was thin.
What?
But here's the payoff. About 30 or 40 minutes before Homicide was called in, the apartment house directly across the street was robbed. And close to midnight, the thieves were caught. Three men with a grip full of jewels. We figured one of the three might have done the murder across the street. So I got a hold of the apartment manager, the elevator boy, and the telephone operator to see if they could identify any of them.
This is where I came in.
Hmm?
You see, I was at home all the evening. I turned on the radio for the midnight news bulletins. It said, Malcolm Boyd murdered. Malcolm and I graduated from college together, and Malcolm married the girl I had hoped to marry.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I was interested. I got dressed and hurried right down here to headquarters.
The people from the apartment house were sitting in the show-up, waiting to have a look at these three jewel thieves. Well, Mike, as you know, on a show-up for identification, we always add a few innocent people to the line.
Yes, sure, Inspector, so the witnesses won't identify the first man they see.
Right.
Go on.
I asked one of our plainclothesmen and Richie to stand up with the three robbers. And what happened? The manager, the elevator boy, and the telephone operator immediately pick out Ward Richard.
Oh, well, of all things.
It's impossible, of course. I've never in my life been inside the Bayview Towers. I was at home all evening till I heard that news bulletin.
I can see it put you in the spot. You say you knew Malcolm Boyd and his wife was your ex-girlfriend.
Yes, we were engaged once.
Yet you never went to their apartment, nor were even in the building?
I can explain that. Malcolm took Mary away from me. He had a devilish way with women. I was terribly bitter. I didn't want to see them again, at least not Malcolm. I told him if he ever mistreated Mary, I'd kill him.
Oh, fine. That'll sound great to a jury.
It's a case of mistaken identity, of course. A terrific coincidence.
And you want me to prove it's a coincidence by digging up the real killer?
That's our job, too, Mike. But it's less embarrassing if Richie gets his help from outside this department.
The inspector tells me that if we don't find the real killer very soon, he'll be forced to arrest me. That would ruin me.
Isn't there just a possibility that Mrs. Boyd herself may have killed her husband?
Oh, no, Mary isn't that type. She's refined and gentle. Murder is beyond her.
Well, Mr. Ritchie, I'll take the case on one condition. Where it finally leads must be my responsibility.
You mean whoever turns out to be the murderer?
Yes.
Well, all right.
Good. And now, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk to the inspector.
Of course. I guess there's nothing more I can tell you. When you want me, you'll find me in my home.
Mm-hmm.
Inspector has my phone number.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure to meet you, sir. And you, Miss Knight.
Thank you.
Well, Mike?
Well, Inspector, I'd say you're as much on the spot as Mr. Ritchie. A man has been named by three witnesses, yet you don't make an arrest. What's the DA going to say?
I'm not completely dumb, Mike. I've checked up on Ward's story. His houseboy says he got home at 7 o'clock and didn't go out again until midnight.
Can you believe his houseboy?
I think so, Phil. He's an old-time Chinese.
Oh.
They're loyal but truthful.
Inspector.
Yes, Sergeant.
Got something here on the Boyd case.
Look.
Yeah, the Universal Cleaning Company just turned it in. Some guy took it in for cleaning this morning. They found some fresh blood stains on the coat and got suspicious.
They got the customer's name?
Yeah, it's right here on this tag, Inspector. The name is...
Yeah, I know without looking. Ward Ritchie.
We'll return to the adventures of Mike Shane in just a moment. Friends, even with the recent increase in civilian gasoline allowances, gas coupons are still pretty scarce. That's why you should be sure that the cooling system of your automobile engine is in good shape for summer driving. For, whether you realize it or not, a hot motor wastes gasoline. And believe it or not, cars driven around town usually get hotter than those driven on the open road. So even if you aren't planning any trips this summer, it's a good idea to drop in at the Union Oil Station and ask the Minuteman to flush out your radiator. Using a special solvent known as Union Radiator Flush, he can clean out the rustiest radiators in just a few minutes. Union Radiator Flush is harmless to metal, but its special solvent action cuts scale, rust, and grease right out of choked water lines. Then when you fill the radiator with clean, fresh water, you can be sure it will really circulate and cool your motor with a fast, steady flow. So for cooler driving, better mileage, just drive in wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76 and ask for Union Oil Radiator Service. Thank you. At police headquarters, Phyllis watches two worried men pace the floor, Mike Shane and the inspector.
Mike, but I've got to arrest Ward Ritchie for the murder of Malcolm Boyd. When three people identify him and a cleaner turns up with his blood-stained suit...
It's still circumstantial evidence, Inspector.
Look, the simplest thing would be to ask Ward Ritchie if the suit belongs to him. Unless you think he might lie.
If he's the killer, he will lie. Besides, there's one other thing I'd like to do first. I'd like very much to meet Mrs. Mary Boyd.
And she's still at the apartment. I can drive you out there right now.
Thank you, Inspector. Then let us meet the widow.
Bayview Towers. Miss Evans, thank you.
Oh, miss.
Yes, sir?
We'd like to see Mrs. Boyd, please, apartment 610.
Sorry, sir. The police won't allow any visitors.
I'm not a visitor. I'm a private detective.
Those are my orders, sir.
We're with the police. The inspector's outside parking his car. He'll be right in.
Sorry. I'll have to wait for his permission.
Hi, Shirley. Give us room 807.
Sorry, sir. Mrs. Jones doesn't wish to be disturbed.
Too bad she's going to be. Give her a buzz.
She cannot be called, sir.
Listen, sister, this is important. Get me? Important.
Well, you'll have to take the responsibility.
Okay, kids, the elevator's this way.
Oh, wait. The switchboard gal says we can't go up without your permission.
You got it. Come on.
Honey, that man who asked for Mrs. Jones at the desk, do you recognize him?
Huh? The one getting into the elevator? No.
Funny, his face looks familiar to me.
Going up. Not please.
That's us.
How are you, Inspector? I'm at the sixth floor?
That's right. Oh, Mike, this is Grant, one of the men who identified Richie.
I see.
Fourth floor, please.
Yes, sir.
I'd still like to know who that guy is. It bothers me.
Out on six.
Hartman is the first one here on the left, Mike.
Okay.
If I were you, Mike, I'd be a little easy on the questions. Mrs. Boyd is the high-tension type.
Okay, I'll watch it.
Yes? Oh, Inspector.
Good morning, Mrs. Boyd. Mind if we come in and talk a while?
Please do.
Mrs. Boyd, this is Mr. Shane and Miss Knight.
Oh, how do you do?
Mr. Shane is a private investigator who's also working on this case.
Oh?
It's just routine, Mrs. Boyd. I understand you left your husband here in the apartment about 10 o'clock last night. Mm. He was gone about 10 minutes. May I ask where you went and why?
I told them, down to the drugstore to get some aspirin. I had a headache.
I should have told you, Mike. We checked at the drugstore.
I see. And just what was your husband's line of work, Mrs. Boyd?
Oh, must I go through all this again? My husband was wealthy. He didn't have to work.
Oh? And the source of his income?
Oh, it was a trust fund or something. I didn't pry into his business affairs.
You mean he just lived at home, a young man of 31, and did nothing?
We had a very full social life.
Oh.
Malcolm had an office he went to occasionally. Just something to do.
You didn't mention that to me, Mrs. Boyd.
You didn't ask me. He had some office in the exposition building.
Mrs. Boyd, how long is it since you've seen Mr. Ward Ritchie?
He asked you a question, Mrs. Boyd.
Ward? Why, it's been years. Not since, a long time.
Not since you married Mr. Boyd?
No. But what has Ward to do with all this?
Have either of you two written or telephoned to each other during those years?
Well, Ward wrote once or twice.
You remember what he wrote?
Only that if I ever needed anything or was in trouble, to come to him.
And had you?
No. Excuse me, please.
Good morning, Mrs. Boyd. Is the inspector still here?
Yes, come in.
It's the apartment house manager, Mike. Morning, Mr. Lockridge.
Hello. I stopped in, Mr. Inspector, to ask what you've done with this case. I didn't see anything in the morning papers about Mr. Ritchie.
No, we haven't arrested him yet.
You haven't? But this is absurd. We all identified him.
We'll make an arrest when the time is right, Mr. Lockridge.
Well, I hope so. I certainly don't want to see this scandal drag on in the newspapers. It's very bad publicity for the apartment.
Well, in these days of housing shortage, Mr. Lockridge, I don't think you'll lose any business.
I'm thinking of myself. I've been severely criticized by the owners for permitting such tenants in our house.
Mr. Lockridge?
Yes?
Do you remember the color of the suit Ward Ritchie had on last night?
Oh, yes, it was gray. Well, I've got to get along. I have a man waiting to see me. Oh, Mrs. Boyd, in light of what's happened, I hope you'll make arrangements for other quarters as soon as possible. Good day.
Oh, this precious apartment house.
Mrs. Boyd, getting back to our own problem, it seems to me your attitude is rather uncooperative.
I answered all your questions.
After a fashion, yes. But if you're genuinely interested in solving your husband's death, you can probably give us a good deal of background information. That's what we've got to have.
Oh, but of course, if I knew anything at all, I'd certainly tell you. I gave the inspector everything I could think of.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one thing you can tell us, Mrs. Boyd.
Yes.
On which floor are the manager's offices located?
Why, I believe on the fourth floor.
Oh, I thought so.
Hmm? Now, just
what's
what...
What's that supposed to mean?
Inspector, it's so blamed obvious that for once I'm not going to tell you.
Yes, gentlemen, I was glad to help the police. I always say there was something wrong about that Mr. Boyd.
Did he come down to his office much, Gideon?
Well, sir, I can't say. I janitor us mostly afternoon and the night time. This year's his door. I'll get out my keys here. Yes, sir, Mr. Boyd had oceans of money. He was a big man. But I always told my wife, I don't like that look in Mr. Boyd's eye. Someday it's going to go bad. There you are, gentlemen.
Thank you, Gideon.
Glad to do it, sir. Glad to do it.
Well, This is certainly a Barney place. Just one desk and two chairs. There's not even a picture on the wall.
Means we have little to search.
Yeah.
Nothing on top of the desk. I hope the drawers aren't locked.
Huh. Look at this drawer. Theater programs, ticket stubs, list of box holders at the opera.
Well, we know he was a social butterfly.
There's a bunch of newspaper clippings. Let me see. Brilliant gathering at Carlton Party and evening at Irene Eggert's. Wow, look at the names. The cream of the town. Van Allen Haven, Crystal Finley, Audrey Dyer, Malcolm Boyd.
So he was there.
Yeah, here's another soiree. Guests, Beverly Pryor, Joseph Spiegel, Francis Rylance, Malcolm Boyd.
Why do you suppose he kept these clippings? To see his name in print?
Well, ask it this way, Inspector. Why all these clippings kept in his business office? It meant dollars and cents to him somehow.
Here's another clipping, Mike, marked with a heavy blue pencil. Reception at Lee Strayhorn's.
Lee Strayhorn. Hold on, Mike. Remember what happened at Lee Strayhorn's party last month?
Yeah, sure, sure. There was a big jewel robbery. Uh-oh. Honey, is Boyd's name on that guest list?
It says he was to be there.
And some of those other names you read, Mike. Van Allen Haven, Francis Ryland. The police are still looking for their missing diamonds. This could make a pattern.
You mean Malcolm Boyd might have been a jewel thief?
Not necessarily, but he could have gone to all those social functions to spot jewels for somebody else.
I agree. We've had too many jewel thefts lately for it to be the work of one man.
What about those three men who robbed the place across from the Bayview Towers last night?
Maybe some connection. Though don't forget the apartment house people all identified Ward Richards.
Look, we're talking in circles. If Malcolm Boyd was mixed up with the jewel gang, we've got some fast checking to do, and you know where, Inspector.
Yeah, headquarters. Rogues Gallery.
Howard Warden, 42, housebreaking.
Ed O'Leary, 23, hold up on assault.
Inspector.
Yeah?
When you look at those photos, we've got a new batch of mixed rooms.
We'll get to them, Sergeant. Want to finish burglary files first?
Yes, sir. Oh, by the way, Inspector.
Yeah?
We checked on that suit from the cleaners.
Huh? Huh?
The guy who took it to them wasn't Richie.
You got a description?
Yes, sir. Middle-aged man, heavy set. We found out the suit was bought this morning at a fire sale on Mission Street.
Hey, then it was a fake. A plant.
Yeah, a plant. And so was the identification of Mr. Richie.
You mean the apartment house people?
Honey.
What, yes?
Honey, take a look at this picture. You too, Inspector.
Yeah.
Mike, it's that man. The one in the lobby and the elevator.
Yeah, no wonder his face was familiar.
Hmm. Ed Collins, 39, jewel robbery, San Quentin, 5 years.
He didn't just happen to go to Bayview Towers this morning. He was there for a purpose.
Ed Collins, jewel thief. Malcolm Boyd, possible jewel spotter. Say, things are beginning to string together.
Yeah, but we can't tie a knot in it yet. Inspector, doesn't it strike you a little odd that Mrs. Boyd doesn't know anything about her husband's career?
Very odd. He couldn't completely hide it from her. In fact, she might be with a gang.
No, I don't think so. Richie was right about her. She's too high class for that.
Yeah, but it might explain why she wouldn't give you boys any details. Mrs. Boyd has social position, a family name. She wouldn't admit that her husband was a crook.
There's an angle. Look at it this way. If Mary Boyd knows about the gang, knows who killed her husband, that gang is going to be plenty uneasy about her. They'll try to keep her quiet.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, but they wouldn't risk a second murder in that apartment house. Honey, we've got a job for you.
Name it.
Go over to the Bayview Towers and stay with Mrs. Boyd. Don't let anybody trick her into leaving that apartment on any excuse. Don't let her answer the door or the telephone. Tell her what we find out. Try to pump her for the rest of the story. You know, woman to woman.
Yeah. And where would you gentlemen be?
I don't know yet, honey, but it will be wherever we can pick up Mr. Ed Collins.
Mr. Shane was right.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's true. I didn't want anyone to know. My husband was no good. I was going to leave him.
He was working with a gang of jewel thieves?
Oh, I don't know who they were. I began to suspect a few weeks ago. I told him he had to give it up or I'd divorce him. He said he'd talk to them, but they killed him.
Uh-huh. This is the truth now. No more acting.
Oh, the truth. The truth.
Keep away from that phone. Keep away. I'll get it. Hello?
Mrs. Boyd?
Yes? Yes. Who is it?
You know who. Why didn't you let your husband meet me last night?
When? Meet who?
You know who. He told you about me. Well, didn't he?
Well, I don't know which man you mean.
He told you about me, didn't he?
Who is this? Who is it? Hello? 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 Hello?
Who was it? What did he say?
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. Oh. Let me think. I've heard that voice.
Oh, what did he want? What does it mean?
Oh, wait a minute. I know. I remember. The man in the lobby. It was Ed Collins.
Oh. Oh, Miss Knight. Miss Knight, I'm afraid. I'm afraid.
No, just relax. Just relax. Operator. Operator. Get me the police quickly.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. All my lines are busy.
Well, clear one. This is an emergency.
I'm sorry. You'll just have to wait.
Well, I won't wait.
I'll call you when I'm ready, ma'am.
Oh, she cut you off. She wouldn't connect you.
No, and she'll never connect us. She's one of the gang.
Oh, the door.
Quick. Quick, lock it.
Just a little too late, ladies.
Collins.
You know all about me, don't you? Well, introductions won't be necessary then. Pick up your handbag. Put on your hat. We're leaving.
In just a moment, we'll rejoin Mike and Phyllis in their adventures. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that many motorists nowadays are complaining about excess carbon in their engines. And we also know that most of these drivers blame wartime gasoline for their carbon troubles. Now, that's unfortunate because actually nearly all carbon formed in automobile engines comes from the motor oil. But, and this is the payoff, no two motor oils form the same amount of carbon. For example, it is a proved laboratory fact that Triton motor oil will form less carbon in your engine than any of the seven leading motor oils sold in the West. Not only that, but Triton motor oil is a 100% pure paraffin-based lubricant, the finest kind of motor oil that money can buy. The secret of Triton's superiority lies in Union Oil Company's exclusive propane solvent refining process, a process so valuable that it has been patented by Union Oil Company. So friends, with parts and mechanics as scarce as they are today, why not take advantage of the unusual protection Triton motor oil will give you against carbon? You can buy Triton at all Union Oil Minuteman stations. Just look for the sign of the big orange and blue 76. Thank you. Several minutes have passed. Mike and the inspector are hammering on the door of Mrs. Boyd's apartment.
Phil, open up, Angel. It's Mike.
Mrs. Boyd.
Say, something's wrong, Inspector. Put your shoulder against the door.
Now. Phil. Phil, where are you?
We better search.
Phil.
Not in the kitchen.
Phil. Not in the bedroom. Maybe this closet. No.
You told her not to leave this apartment.
Where's the phone? Operator. Operator.
Yes, sir?
Did you see Mrs. Boyd and another young lady leave this building?
No, sir.
All right. Get me the manager.
I'm sorry. The manager is busy.
I said get me the manager. Send him up here in 30 seconds or else.
No signs of violence around here, Mike. But surely Phil would leave a note for us.
Oh, if anything's happened to that girl, I'll tear this place apart.
We shouldn't have fooled around looking for Ed Collins.
We should have come straight here. We would have got him. I didn't think I was sending Phil into any danger so long as she stayed in the apartment.
Easy now, Mike, easy.
You called for me, gentlemen?
Lockridge.
Yes, yes. We're looking for Miss Knight and Mrs. Boyd. Do you know where they are?
Well, not exactly. I saw them walk out of the lobby a few minutes ago.
Not according to your telephone operator. She told me she hadn't seen them.
Well, I can't help that.
Yeah, Mr. Lockridge is right, sir. I took him down on my elevator.
You're lying. You're both lying. We sent Miss Knight to this apartment for the express purpose of keeping Mrs. Boyd inside these rooms.
All right. Don't believe us. I don't care. We've had all we want of notoriety and ill manners from the Boyds and the police department.
Hold on, you. Grant.
Yes?
Grant, there's just one elevator in this building, isn't there?
Yes.
Is somebody running your elevator now?
No, I left the door open.
Yeah? Inspector, I hear the hum of an elevator. Where's the dumbwaiter?
There's one in the kitchen. Come on, you two.
I don't have to.
Oh, yes, you do.
There it is, Mike. Open the door.
It's going down fast. Phyllis! Phyllis! Where's the button? Now. Now we'll bring it back up again.
Stay where you are, Lockridge. You too, Grant.
Ah, you guys are all wrong.
Here it comes, Inspector. Be ready. Collins, get out of there.
Smart guys, aren't you?
Inspector. Yeah. Is Phyllis all right?
Yeah, she's bound and gagged, but she's all right.
I'll watch these guys. You cut the girls loose.
Okay, Mike.
Oh, Mike.
Oh, Angel.
Well, it's about time. He was going to kill us.
You butched this up, Lockridge. We told you not to kill Boyd in the apartment.
Shut up, you double-crossed.
Yeah, I'll shut you up.
Drop that gun, Lockridge.
How about it, Mike?
Yeah, he got him, all right. Collins is dead.
Okay, Lockridge. Now you got two murders to answer for. Come on, let's go. Well, kids, not a bad day's work. The murder's solved and a jewelry gang smashed. The robbery detail ought to buy us a round of drinks.
Miss Phyllis Knight wouldn't be here to enjoy it if you boys hadn't come back to the apartment in the nick of time.
Well, you can thank Mike for that, Phil. He figured out the manager was in the deal with Collins.
Sure. Remember Mrs. Boyd told us the manager's office was on the fourth floor and it didn't mean anything to you?
Yeah. You said it was so obvious you wouldn't explain it to us.
Well, of course. Ed Collins told the telephone operator he wanted to see Mrs. Jones on the eighth floor. But we all saw him get out of the elevator on the fourth floor. He went straight to the manager's office. That's why the manager barged in on us 2 minutes later.
Yeah. And when Collins asked for Mrs. Jones, that was double talk because you two kids were standing by.
The thing which really tied it onto the manager was when I asked him the color of the suit Ward Ritchie wore last night. He said gray, which was the color of the suit they bought this morning at a fire sale, smeared it with blood and used to try and frame Ritchie.
Oh, I see. Plus their phony identification of Ritchie down at the show-up.
Yeah. The manager, the telephone operator, and the elevator boy agreed among themselves to identify the same fall guy. And by a 1,000-to-1 shot, it happened to be Ritchie, the one outsider who was interested in the case and who, as a favor to me, had stepped into the show-up box. Pure coincidence.
Mm-hmm. But you know, Inspector, the only person I really feel sorry for is Mrs. Boyd.
Yeah.
It's bad enough to be married to a crook, but then a murder.
Ah, don't worry. She'll be all right. She'll get plenty of comfort from our client, Mr. Ritchie.
Oh, there you go again, cooking up another romance.
No, I don't have to. He's still in love with her. I know that gleam in a man's eye.
Well, says the expert.
Why, of course. Don't I see that gleam often enough, Mr. Shane? Darling?
Ladies and gentlemen, the domestic heating situation is going to be tougher this winter than ever before. All fuel, including oil, coal, gas, coke, and wood, will be scarce. Here in the West in particular, war industries are going to need more fuel for manufacturing. That means you should act now by weatherproofing and insulating where you can and by checking up on your heating equipment in order to conserve fuel next winter. And don't wait for some special fuel which may not be available. Stock up now on whatever kind and quantity of fuel your dealer can let you have. Remember, fuel will be scarce this winter. Be sure you're prepared. Tune in again next week at 8 o'clock for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as the inspector. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.